WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. These are always the toughest segments of the year. The Baltimore Ravens are eliminated. Festivus is no mas. The playoffs are over. Ravens lose in Cincinnati on Sunday night, late into the evening. Luke Jones will be at lockers for locker room cleanout happening the beginning part of this week. But we will certainly be cleaning out our notebooks in the coming months. Luke, I'm just going to give you some oxygen, man. They almost won. I mean, you know what I mean? Like they had a chance to win, which probably makes this even more sort of stinging in a 98-yard touchdown return for an over-the-top quarterback sneak that went awry.
Yeah, no question about it. And, I mean, if you think back to the playoff loss in Buffalo 2 years ago, it was the Teron Johnson 101-yard interception return when the Ravens were driving, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens were driving, trying to score the game-tying touchdown. It was one of the last plays of the third quarter, I guess it was. So, I mean, disappointing. I think what you just said rings true in the sense that I think there was a lot of resignation that there's no Lamar Jackson. The Ravens were significant underdogs. I think there was an expectation that they were going to lose. I don't think necessarily a lot of people thought they were going to be blown out, but I think a lot of people certainly, you know, weren't many people who had a lot of confidence. Let's put it that way. But the Ravens played the kind of game, the style of game that gave them a chance. The defense was once again largely very, very good, especially after Joe Burrow's 1 yard touchdown run with 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. The only other first down the Bengals got the rest of the game came on the roughing the kicker penalty. I mean, that shows you how great the defense was over the final 20 minutes. But I mean, you make a mistake at the goal line when you're getting ready to go ahead and it goes the other way. I mean, a 14-point swing right there, and you know, the offense wasn't good enough in the end. And I, you know, at the end of the day, the Ravens, with a chance to tie the game in Cincinnati, a poor red zone possession and baffling clock management. How many times have we talked about that combination throughout the season? So, you know, it comes back to some of the things that I don't know if there was anything that we saw that changed my mind drastically from where I was before the game. You know, I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens with Greg Roman. You know, I think that's stating the obvious in saying that, but there's so many more questions that we'll get into. Lamar Jackson and, you know, the future of this offense as it's presently constructed, but just disappointing when you have that kind of a chance that the Ravens had before Sam Hubbard takes it 98 yards the other way. I mean, just you pick out gut-wrenching ways to lose a football game when you're an underdog and you have a chance over the final 12 minutes of the game. That's up there, right? I mean, that's really high up on the list as far as agonizing ways to lose it on a record-setting fumble return for a touchdown. But, you know, even after that, the Ravens had a chance, you know, and John Harbaugh stood by the clock management at the end. But I hear what he's saying, but his rationale for the way they handled the clock reminded me a lot of Buck Showalter's rationale for not using Zach Britton. It's very easy to talk about what could happen next, but you still have to execute and succeed in that moment. The Ravens needed a touchdown. You know, worrying about Cincinnati scoring after the fact doesn't matter if you can't score the touchdown. And, well, you get into the red zone with plenty of time left, and the game ended with Tyler Huntley basically throwing a Hail Mary. That should tell you something went awry with your process and your execution over the last minute or two there. So, yeah, but it's something we've talked about all season long, and it's something we'll continue to talk about. And it's going to be a very, very interesting week beyond locker clean out and wondering what players will be back, which players won't be back, which is just standard for this time of the year when your season comes to an end. Going to be a fascinating start to the offseason to see what happens with the coaching staff, with Lamar, and seeing what this football team looks like in 2023, which is, you know, we're what, 9 or 8 months away, I guess, from the start of the 2023 season.
I wouldn't have been the one that would want to recap, you know, a season ending. It's much more compelling. Where was Lamar? You know, how is the injury? Where is the money? Where is Harbaugh? Who's job security? Who's coming back? We can do all of that. Let's talk about the game, though, right? I mean, yeah. Let's stay in the game for a moment, because I thought they were going to get blown out, because I thought a backup quarterback who's been injured, who hasn't practiced, coming in to lead a team against Cincinnati. I just thought Cincinnati would score more. I thought Cincinnati would be more effective against their defense. I thought there'd be more possessions. There weren't a whole lot of possessions in this football game. It was a dream game for the Ravens. And when I wrote my prediction, and I think I predicted 37 to 16 or something like that, really not that far off if they'd scored another touchdown at the end. But I would just say for me, and I pick on Harbaugh, and Harbaugh's a dishonest, I don't think he's a high integrity guy. Now, the longer that I've gone into this as a human being, watching him lie to the me, all of that. But if you're going to give me his team in this kind of a game, if he can keep a team close, I mean, John Harbaugh never gets blown out. He's been here 16 years. They never lose by three touchdowns, ever, 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 no matter what, no matter the game plan, because generally they play pretty heady football and they have decent special teams. And as a franchise, they don't have turnover problems. As a franchise, they don't have penalty problems. So just his kind of coaching, his style in this game, if I were on television an hour before the game with Chris Sims, I'd have picked the Bengals, but I'd have said, beware that this is a well-coached team and these are veteran players. And while the quarterback may be a neophyte, chances are veteran players will show up and play like veteran players in this sort of an environment. And I'll tell you what, dude, when the game was close and Huntley's on the line, I was kicking myself a little bit for not believing more in the purple and in the, well, of course they're going to be a touchdown down or in the game because they're always in the game. They've been in the game all year long. To think that they wouldn't be in the game was a little foolish for me. They had a real chance to win the football game, and I'll continue to go back to that, and I'll beat on that and harp on that because that unto itself kind of surprised America, I think, on Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this even at the end of last year, even as they lost six straight. I mean, other than what that kind of weird post-Christmas, lots of COVID going on. Obviously, they were decimated by injuries. You know, that was the one game that got blown out down the stretch last year. You know, they're always in games, and they've had a very high floor over the last few years. There's no question about that. And I think the big question is the upside. And, you know, it's difficult to talk about a team with upside when you're missing your best player and your franchise quarterback's not on the field each of the last two seasons to finish the season. But you're right. And I mean, I picked the Ravens to lose by 10. I thought it would be a, you know, a close game in the sense that I thought the defense would do enough against Joe Burrow. I didn't necessarily think that the defense would be as good as it was, but I figured it would be good. And we saw that last week. You know, I mean, that was a 27 to 16 ball game that it was not 27 points that you would blame the defense for. I mean, it was short fields, turnovers. I mean, we saw how that game played out. Not that I necessarily was going to say that, you know, that game was equal to a playoff game in terms of importance and all of those things. But, you know, they fight hard for John Harbaugh. They do. There's no question about that. They play hard. They keep it close. You know, they've had a very high floor. However, at the same time, yeah, I think you do look at where the Ravens were in the first half of the John Harbaugh era to where it's been since, you know, 2014. You know, they've been out of these last four trips in the playoffs, they've been one and done, three of them. You know, they've had one playoff win since Lamar Jackson became their franchise quarterback. So, you
Well,
know,
that's an indictment of Lamar to some degree, and to say that,
it's an indictment of everyone. I mean,
right,
you know, that's, you know,
he hasn't played the last half of two seasons. And name any franchise in the league that hasn't played the last half of the last two seasons without their quarterback, whoever their
sure.
quarterback is, even if their quarterback's not Lamar Jackson. This whole thing has been nightmarish for me, and I'll go through it in the offseason from the minute they drafted him, knowing that he could get injured, he's going to run into linebackers, and that this could leave them naked in January. And all that being said, yeah, Tyler Huntley gave a chance to win. You know, like, hey, is a little part of Lamar who? Because we're going to say
No,
Lamar who now.
come on. I mean,
Well, I just don't think Lamar's coming back, so I think there's going to be a Lamar who.
okay, well, that's fine, but Tyler Huntley's a good backup quarterback. I mean, if you're going to sit here and try to say, like, you know, they'll be fine with Tyler Huntley, no,
Oh, they're not. Oh, no.
no,
I'm not
no,
saying that at
no.
all.
I wanted to make clear because it's not a Lamar who. I mean, we could say it's a Lamar who if he's gone, but well, you got to replace him then. And
What's
let's face
Lamar
it.
who if he's gone and he can't play in December last year?
There's
He can't play in December this year. He can't play in January this year. And my Lamar who is, he wasn't even on the plane, man. Like, if we're gonna talk, when we'll have all season to talk about it, all the
Sure.
truth will come out. But like, I find that odd that the guy who's the leader of the team wasn't there to attaboy him, even if he was sitting on the bench instead of standing on the bench because of his knee. I just optics, just all of it. I mean, this whole last month has been a
I hear
mess.
you.
You'll agree with that. I mean, you
Yeah.
cover this,
Oh, yeah, of course.
but the game itself, despite all of that, they didn't lose 65-7 like someone else
Well, I
did
mean,
last week.
I don't think anyone would have reasonably expected something like that. I mean, this
Reasonable would have
defense.
been a couple of touchdowns. I thought they could lose 37-16. I thought Burrow would throw it over their head once or twice. Chase would do enough. That being said, if we're going to talk brass tacks of the game, their offensive line, I don't think the Bengals can win the Super Bowl. Just
Oh, I agree with
watching
that.
them now, I don't think they can win. I think their offensive line suspect.
I mean, let's face it, go back to Christmas Eve. They've lost three starters on their offensive line. And I mean, the initial word on Jonah Williams was, kind of mum. Now, they wasn't really sure what it was going to be, but that didn't look good.
It was
And,
ugly. Oof.
Alex Kappa, there's lots of sentiment wondering if he's going to play again. And Lyle Collins is out for the year already. So, no question about it. I mean, they're it's going to face a tall order. And, that was something about this game that I did wonder, as I picked the Bengals to advance. One thing I did wonder was because we saw the chippiness in week 18 that we saw and the physicality that we saw in the regular season finale, I did wonder if this would have a game that, if you think back to old Raven Steelers from 15 years ago, how many times did we see those two teams beat each other up? And then they were pretty worthless the following week. The Bengals would go out, or the Steelers would go out and lose to. I don't know, Jacksonville or the Ravens. I remember in 2011, the Flacco to Torrey Smith year. I believe they went to Seattle the following week and lost against a Seahawks team that wasn't very good at that point. So, you could see a little bit of that. But I mean, it's there's just obviously there's so much frustration here, and a lot of it stems from not having your quarterback on the field for the most important games of the season. And how much of that is. Now you're worried about availability and long-term health. How much of that is, even if he's going to be fine physically moving forward, that he wasn't out there and he hasn't been out there the last 2 years to close the year. And that's very frustrating. And, how much of this is a lack of trust between the organization and player at this point? I think it would be naive to not think that there's some level of disconnect here, some very meaningful level of disconnect, even before this latest injury, just because you've worked on a contract for the
Well,
better
it's
part of 2
interesting you'd
years.
say that, dude, because I was thinking about this in the middle of the game on Sunday night. I'm thinking, oh my God, they didn't bring him on the plane. Are they trying to embarrass him, or is he trying to embarrass them? Is this a negotiation? Like, you're a team. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, and Harbaugh's demeanor at the podium the last 3 weeks, and sort of that sourpuss face that he would have, not a feeling of care and concern, and we're very concerned about the human. And of course Lamar wants to play, and of course, like, Lamar, tell him how you want to play. You know what I mean? Like, there's none of the normal things that I've seen around this franchise for 15 years in regard to Harbaugh. And the word you used, and this is an important word for anybody in our audience in regard to anything in life, trust. The Ravens have broken my trust personally. So therefore, I look at them with a completely different level of integrity. And I'm wondering if the quarterback doesn't trust them. And I'm thinking to myself, or they don't trust him. Because it seems to me that they didn't think he was as injured as he was. And if he was that injured, they would be disappointed. But that's like you being disappointed if you're at your niece, if she breaks her leg and falls, and she's just like, you can't be angry at an injury. They seemed displeased. I've never seen displeased at an injury, unless there's more there for scratching and pulling back a little bit. But trust, like, that is when you don't trust the other side. Oh man, and that really feels to me like you've hit the target on this. And if anybody wonders about my feelings about the team, that's my issue. My issue is, they're not trustworthy. They're not. I have firsthand experience saying they can't be trusted. Lamar doesn't trust them right now.
Well, and let me be clear. An injured player not traveling for a road game is hardly unprecedented. It's hardly something that is uncommon, let's
He
say,
was walking
especially.
around the locker room in Pittsburgh 4 weeks ago when I was there, right?
Well,
Like,
and that's, I was just going to say, what has made this peculiar, and look, there's been so many questions, and I mean, John Harbaugh has been so reluctant to talk about Lamar every step of the way. I mean, we know
which
that.
speaks volumes, right?
But it's not unsurprising. John Harbaugh has been this way talking about injured players since he's been the head coach, 15 years. So I'm not shocked in that way, but you just mentioned it. He was there in Pittsburgh. That was the first game the Ravens played after the injury. He was there. Was not there the following week in Cleveland. Now, it is a little bit of a longer trip. Now, we're still talking Cleveland, not a cross-country trip to LA. So, and I recall, I think it was Stacy Dales, because NFL Network did that game in Cleveland, had made mention that the Ravens didn't want him to travel because they were worried about swelling in his knee. Had residual swelling in his knee. So the Ravens didn't have another road game at that point until they went to Cincinnati last week. Well, he wasn't in Cincinnati last week, and I mean NBC right off the bat mentioned in the telecast that he wasn't in Cincinnati on Sunday night.
Maybe he
Now,
doesn't like the chili either.
well,
I
I
don't
would say this much, and again, Lamar put out his update. People will, plenty of people are believing it 100%. Other people are a little skeptical. I mean, again, so many people have their mind made up. It doesn't even matter what you and I even say about it in that regard. I mean, people are going to feel how they want to feel about it. And look, there's plenty of conjecture and unknown here. It's not as though we've been privy to Lamar's minute by minute, day by day itinerary. So, I'm not even going to go there from that standpoint. But, if you take what he said in terms of his knee not being stable and the fact that he's dealt with swelling, which is something that has been reported at a couple different points by NFL Network and Adam Schefter, et cetera. So if there is still swelling, then that would be grounds for someone potentially not getting on an airplane and traveling. Now, again, people can take how they want, and people will believe what they want to believe, feel how they want to feel about that. But certainly the optics of it,
It's a real thing, the
I mean,
swelling
I'm
in
not going to sit.
planes, by the way. Have
Yeah.
you ever been cut on and got on a plane?
And that's my I haven't, but
I
that's my
have, and it
point
sucks.
that that but that's my point that it's not unheard of. I mean, Ronnie Stanley early in the season was not traveling to road games with them. I mean, he made his debut in what, week five, I guess it was. He didn't travel the first couple games. And you know that because when a player is listed as questionable and then they're ruled out on Saturday, that is an NFL rule. If you have a road game and you do not travel with the team and you haven't been ruled out, you're then ruled out at that point. So, and we saw that Ronnie Stanley was downgraded in some of those early road games. So it's not unprecedented. Again, if he's still dealing with swelling, then that would be grounds for not traveling and not getting on an airplane. Whether he was going to be an option to play in Kansas City if the Ravens advanced by chance or not, that's not unheard of. But again, the optics of it, sure. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it's a good look. But I wanted to give that background at the very least for people who are wondering. And I had the same question and thought it was kind of peculiar, right off the bat when he went to Pittsburgh and then wasn't in Cleveland the following week. Makes you wonder, was there not a setback necessarily, but was there a diagnosis that did end up being a little bit worse? Again, we're so quick, and I don't mean you and me. I mean, in general, we're so quick on so many different issues on social media. That's why social media can be so toxic, that we take one side or the other, and we take one side as 100% truthful, and the other side is, well, you're just blatantly lying. When in many cases, there's, it's a sliding scale as far as where does the truth really fall? Was the injury downplayed a little bit by the Ravens? That wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't be the first time that they've done that. And, could Lamar Jackson be, I don't want to say exaggerating, or maybe be more concerned about it than what reality is. And then, yeah, you do talk about the contract and business factors that are at work here. Is that plausible? Of course it is. You know what? That doesn't mean that I'm saying he's jaking it, or that the Ravens have, tried to sabotage him. I mean, there's nuance to it, and that's why this entire situation, going back 2 years now, it was 2 years ago when we started talking about a contract. He was eligible for an extension after that playoff loss in Buffalo. From that point on, they could talk turkey in terms of a long-term deal. So we're 2 years into this now. There's been a lot of nuance. There's been a lot of conjecture. There's been a lot of confusion, a lot of debate going back and forth.
Well,
A
he's
lot of
done nothing to
comments
get,
made.
make the Ravens give him $250 million at this point by not playing at this point and not being, they seem unhappy with him. And John's tenor and John's demeanor and John's words and John's body language says to me that there's a lack of trust. That was your word, and that's the word I was going to use on Sunday night, thinking, do you trust them, or are you honest, or are do you have an honest relationship? And part of this, and I know this will be the truth, and Eric DaCosta will probably never speak to me again, and that's fine. But the truth is, without an agent, this is a very, very awkward circumstance when a player gets hurt. There is no buffer. There's no one else to communicate with other than his mother, I guess, and his girlfriend and him. And we've seen his lack of maturity. We've seen it. We've just seen it in general in social media, in the way all of this has been handled. And whatever advice he's getting, it's different than having an agent on the phone with Eric DaCosta, which is what Eric is used to, which is what the organization is used to, which is the way they do it. It's the way they play the game, negotiation-wise, information-wise, injury-wise, relationship-wise, to some degree, that game is played through an agent, and without that buffer, you get this. You get a lack of trust and a lack of communication, because that direct contact between Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh, and Lamar Jackson, it's not normal. It's not normal when there's no agent in there.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is they made it work with Roquan Smith. I mean, he doesn't have an agent now. A hundred
He
million
speaks for
dollar cut.
himself. Roquan
But
Smith walks up to the podium, acts like an
sure,
adult,
but
speaks in adult terms, and apparently that wasn't very difficult. They got it done. This other thing's been a mess.
right, and quick to point out here, $100 million contract for an off-ball linebacker, as lucrative as it is for an off-ball linebacker. It is an inside linebacker, not a franchise quarterback who's won a unanimous NFL MVP, right? I mean, it's a little bit, it's a different animal for quarterbacks in general, right? I mean, agent, even if you have an agent, you're talking about lucrative money. And in this case, a very unique circumstance with no agent and on the heels of the Deshaun Watson deal, as we talked about all offseason. But, I think what's tough about this, though, is, if you're the Ravens, if you're Lamar Jackson, you got to put on a happy face, because this isn't a case where the Ravens are just going to let him walk. I mean, they'd be dumb to do that. That would be a fireable offense to just let him hit free agency. So they're going to tag him, and
And
it's
they're
going to be
also
a,
not going to beat him up and call him soft and say that he didn't have
well,
any will to play, because they're going to try to trade him and get every first round pick they can get out of him.
I mean, however you want to play this out, whether you think there's still enough trust there to salvage this, and I'm not saying that there isn't, that scenario isn't possible here, but either way, you've got to put on happy face, and you got to try to make this work from that standpoint. Even if long term, you both sides have made up their mind that they're not going to continue their long term relationship. Even if you're made up your mind in that sense, you don't want to let the rest of the world know that. That's why it was funny to hear NFL Network and some of the national reports over the weekend that the Ravens were, saying Lamar's still their guy. I mean, of course they're going to say that. You have to say he's still your guy until he's not anymore, right? I mean, and I'm not even saying that they
And they don't
should
have to
trade
say
him. I'm just.
anything now, right? Like, it's over. You're going to ask Harbaugh a couple questions. It's going to go away, and we're going to see Eric appear at some point around draft time, right?
Oh, we
They're going
should
to
hear
go
from
on
him
their little
before that.
Jupiter thing. We'll get into this in the coming weeks, but the notion of 5 days a week, them having to ask answer questions
All
about
right.
Lamar's knee, Lamar's money, is Lamar playing this week? That's over with now. So now everybody will go into a hole. And they'll come out of this hole when they figure out what's tenable. Who would want him? Where are we dealing him? Who can I talk to? What are we really going to get for him? Because I don't think they're at the point with Lamar, how much money do you want now? I don't think there is a negotiation now in regard to that. Because whatever his value was a year ago, to them, he's worth less. To him, he's worth more. To him, he's, you see what you how you played without me? To them, they're like, Yeah, we saw we played without you. That's why we're not giving you the money, because we played without you. So, I man, these next 90 days, as much as I tried to stay to the game, Luke. We'll take a break here. We'll come back and talk about the offseason. But the game was fascinating, and I don't want to let the game go.
Sure.
Because we're going to get into all of the rest of this. Luke Jones is here. He will be in Owings Mills all week long as they allow him, and they'll be cleaning lockers out, and there will be more playoff games this weekend. There will be more coaches hired this week. There will be Greg Roman situation. All of that is coming down the pike. But in the meantime, we're going to continue to talk about Sunday night's loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Ravens are eliminated. You can find Luke at Baltimore. Luke, you can find me anywhere the internet is served. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill back out on – and Window Nation, I should say, 8-6, 90 Nation. You buy two, you get two free. And you pay no financing for 5 years. That's even a better deal than they gave me, so go take advantage of that. We're going to get the Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week. I'll have some more information on that coming up later on this week. In the meantime, it's all purple around here as the Ravens enter the offseason. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.